This is Pastor Ron Franklin at Covenant Community Church, and you're listening to Covenant Living Today.
We are in a series of messages on ingredients of the abundant life. Well, today we want to talk about not an ingredient of the abundant life, but what I call an anti-ingredient of the abundant life. Now, those of you who are cooks, how many of you bake? I need to know who the bakers are here. All right, amen. Gotcha. Now, let me tell you what one thing that's a part of the abundant life, as far as I'm concerned, is. Lemon meringue pie. Let me tell you, when we get to heaven, there will be lemon meringue pie. Amen? Now, that's a part of the abundant life for me. Now, suppose I came to you and I said, oh, man, I would just love to have a lemon meringue pie. And you said, Pastor, I'll bake you one. But you happen to be one of these people, and we had some at Thanksgiving dinner, who love hot sauce. Put it on everything. You know, there are actually people, I can't believe it, they're not going to get to heaven, who put hot sauce on their eggs. Amen? And so you love hot sauce. And you say, man, I'm going to bake Pastor a lemon meringue pie. He's going to love it. And you say, man, you know, I know just exactly what will give it that tang it needs. And you take a whole bottle of your hot sauce and you pour it in that lemon meringue pie. Now, when you give it to me, you will be excommunicated from this church. Why? Because hot sauce does not go with lemon meringue pie. In fact, what it does is it spoils the whole thing. Isn't that right? And in fact, the more of it you put in, what? The worse the results that you get. Well, that's what we want to talk about on a spiritual level today. An anti-ingredient to the abundant life. Something that the more of it you put in, the worse the results that you get. Go with me to Matthew chapter 6. And let's see if we can see what the anti-ingredient for the abundant life is. Matthew chapter 6, starting with verse 25. Let's see how awake everybody is this morning. See if you can figure out what the anti-ingredient is. Verse 25 of Matthew 6. Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at verse 31. Therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? Verse 34, therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Can anybody figure out the hot sauce that we're talking about today? Worry. All right, honesty time. How many worriers do we have in the house today? Amen. Now see, I know this. There's two categories of people who are in this building today. They're the worriers and they're the liars. Amen. I mean, if I were to ask you over the past year, how many of us have worried about something that we felt was serious in our life? How many of us have worried about our finances over the past year? All right, amen. How many of us have worried about our health? Amen. How many of us have worried about somebody else in our life, a son, a daughter that was going astray, husband, wife? You see, it's almost universal. Worry. And yet worry is an anti-ingredient to the abundant life. The more of it you put in, the worse the results that you get. Jesus said, I am come that we might have life and have it more abundantly. And here is Jesus. Jesus, it's like this. We're in the car and Jesus is driving us toward the abundant life. And he's got his foot down on the accelerator. And you know what we're doing? When we worry, it's like taking our foot, putting it over across his, finding the brake and pushing down on the brake while he's trying to move us forward into the abundant life. Have you ever gotten your car, started off, and it didn't move the way it should, and you get about two blocks down the road before you realize the emergency brake is still off? See, that's what worry is like in terms of us getting into the abundant life. Look at what Jesus said. We just read it here in Matthew chapter 6. In just those few verses, three separate times, he said what? Do not worry. Now, was this a suggestion that Jesus was making to us? Do not worry. A suggestion. Oh, you know, you can worry or not worry, but I suggest that you don't. No, what is this? This is a command. This is a command from the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Now think about this. You all look very nice this morning. We have any murderers in the house? Murderers. Now, if I were to ask how many of us have murdered somebody with our tongue, I'd get a different result. Amen. But murderers in the house. Okay, let's go a little bit deeper here. We have any thieves in the house? Now, how many times do you have to steal something to be a thief? I'll be nice to you. Do we have any former thieves in the house? Amen. All right. Now, I ought to get universal response to this one. Any liars in the house? Amen. Now, why are those things wrong? Why are those things wrong? You can think about all kinds of reasons why it's wrong to lie, wrong to steal, wrong to kill somebody. But you know what the bottom line is? God said, thou shalt not. That's what the bottom line is. God said, thou shalt not. And when you go against what God has said, you are automatically in sin. Now, Jesus just told us, don't worry. So when we proceed to worry anyway, where are we? In sin. Worry is probably the sin that Christians indulge in more often than anything else. I mean, you know, we just found out most of us will not leave here, go down to the bank, put a stocking cap over our head, and take some money. But a lot of us, at least until we heard this message, would leave here, go home, and worry about things that are happening in our lives. Jesus said, don't worry. Why is this so important? Why would Jesus go to all of this trouble, give us these commands not to worry, tell us that when we do worry, we are actually in sin? What's so important about worry? Here's the thing. Worry will hold you back from the abundant life. Amen? Jesus said, I am come that you might have abundant life. Worry will hold you back from the abundant life. Because catch this, when you are worried, when you have this distress and anxiety going on in your mind, and your mind keeps going round and round in the same rut over and over again. Have you ever had one of these instances? And I'm speaking from experience here. You get up in the morning, the sun is shining, it's a beautiful day, you feel happy, and then it comes into your mind, now wait a minute, I'm supposed to be worried about something. What was it? And you have to go figure out what you're worried about so you can be miserable again. Amen? That happened to you? See, worry is not going to bring you abundant life. It brings you miserable life. Frustration, anxiety, fear, all of that's involved in worry. Worry will hold you back from the abundant life. Look at verse 27 of Matthew chapter 6. Here's a key issue, a key reason why God is so against us worrying. Matthew 6:27, which of you by worrying can add one cubit to his nature or to his stature? Which of you by worrying can add one cubit to his stature? Catch this. Worrying destroys your peace and accomplishes absolutely nothing. How many of you have accomplished something by worrying about it? I don't think so. This is a very personal verse for me because, you know, I am 5'11 and a half. 5'11 and a half. Can anybody guess what my dream was when I was growing up and I was 5'11 and a half? To be 6 feet tall. To be 6 feet tall. And I can remember sometimes I'd be lying on my bed and I'd be going like this. And I would think about it and I would wish for it because I was playing football and I knew in college to be a lineman, you had to be at least 6 feet. Now you probably need to be 6'3 or 6'4. But in those days, long time ago, amen, you could get away with being a 6 foot lineman, but 5'11 and a half, man, no. I was 5'11 and a half then. And after all my worrying, guess what? I am 5'11 and a half now. See, Jesus is saying your worrying will not change anything. You lie there on your bed losing sleep, thinking about this thing and getting afraid of what's going to happen to you. Just your mind being all filled with frustration and fear. And you don't get a good night's sleep. You get up in the morning, you're tired. You're cranky, you're angry, and what good did it do you? Nothing. Not a bit. But somehow we feel like if I'm not worried, something's wrong. Amen? And so the first thing is Jesus said, look, all of this worrying you've been doing has accomplished absolutely nothing. It will accomplish absolutely nothing except to tear up your peace and keep you from the abundant life. But there's an even more important reason why Jesus is so hard on worry. When you were a child, how much time did you spend worrying about where your next meal was coming from? Think about it for a moment. How many times did you go up to your parents and say, where are we going to get our next meal? Where are we going to get dinner from? Where are we going to get breakfast from? No, you didn't do that. What? You expected them to have it. Isn't that right? You expected them to take care of it. Or catch it this way. Now that you're an adult and you're a parent, suppose your child came to you and, you know, he's not doing his homework. And you get on him and he says, well, I just can't seem to focus on it. I can't seem to concentrate on it. Because you see, I just keep thinking about how we're going to pay our bills at the end of the month. Now, what are you going to say to your child? Look, that is not your business. That is not your concern. That's my concern. I will take care of paying the bills. You take care of getting the homework done. Isn't that right? What is God saying to us? Whose business is it to take care of you? Whose business is it to make sure that you have everything that you need to supply all of your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus? Whose business is that? It's his business. And when we worry, when we get so upset, frustrated, we can't do what we're supposed to be doing for the kingdom of God, what's happening? We're looking up in God and saying, God, I can't do my homework because I'm worrying about paying my bills. And God says, that's not your business. You do what I tell you to do. And I'll take care of paying the bill. You see, what it comes down to is this. When we worry, it is a slap in the face to God. It's a slap in the face to God. It's telling God, God, I'm not sure you can handle my business. So I need to worry about it for myself. Look back in Matthew chapter 6. Start with verse 24. Look at this. No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore, I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, or about your body, what you will put on. Is life not more than food, and the body more than clothing? Do you see what he's saying? When we worry about what we're going to have in life, about getting our needs met, what we are doing is dividing our loyalty between our needs and God Himself. He says, you cannot serve two masters. You can't serve both God and money. You got to make up your mind. Which one are you going to serve? If you're going to serve God, you can't be worried about your money. And if you're worried about your money, that will get in the way of you serving God. That's what he's saying. How many of us worry about money? Let's see the hands again. Let me just check. All right, amen. Now, every one of us who worries about money, guess what? We have put money between us and God. Because catch this. If I'm worried about money, I'll start thinking about how to get or keep the money I think I need more than I'll think about what I need to be doing to serve the Lord. Isn't that right?
Yeah.
Isn't that right? Mm-hmm. I mean, I'll be thinking and scheming and doing everything I can. I need the money. Let me just ask it. How many of us have ever done something that we knew was wrong in order to get or keep some money? Let's just see. What's Jesus saying? You got to choose who you're going to serve. If you are worried about money, money is what's on your mind, that means God is not at the center of your attention. And if God is not at the center of your attention, you're going to miss the way into abundant life. So the big issue here is, it's an issue of who is the one that we're going to serve. Are we going to serve our own needs, money or health or whatever it is that we think we need? Or are we going to serve God himself? Look at this, verse 26 of Matthew chapter 6. Look at the birds of the air. For they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Verse 28. So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? What's he saying here? It's a faith issue. It's a faith issue. Every time we indulge in worry, what are we doing? We're tearing down our faith. We are negating our faith. It's a faith issue. God says, look, just all you have to do is look at the birds. Right outside our garage, we have a tree. And it's not a real tall tree. And the leaves have fallen off of it so that you can see in that tree there's a bird's nest. And I was looking at that thing, and you know, I'm a curious kind of person. I was wondering, now, it's getting cold, the leaves are off the tree. Where do those birds go when winter comes? How do they find enough food when there's snow on the ground? And when there's not snow on the ground, where do birds go to even get a drink of water? Now see, I think about these things. Catch this. Birds don't even think about it because God always provides. Birds are not worried about where their next meal is coming from. They get up in the morning, they go out, and they expect a worm to be coming up out of the ground. They don't think about it all night. They don't wonder where worms live and where worms come from. They don't wonder if there are going to be enough worms to go around. They don't wonder if the worm virus got the worms and the worms are all dying out. They just get up in the morning and expect that a worm is going to be there because that's the way God set it up. And that's what Jesus is telling us. Look, if he provides for the sparrows, how many of you think you're worth more than a sparrow? Amen. Now, if God provides for the sparrows, isn't he going to provide for you? Then he takes it even a step further. Just think about the lilies of the field. Little flowers out in the field. How many of you, if you had more money, would buy some finer clothes than you have right now? Let's see. If you had more money, you'd buy some fine dress. Amen. Amen. Jesus said, look, just look at this flower. Look at how beautiful it is. Bright colors. Lovely. And guess what? He didn't have to go down to the store, didn't have to put anything on his credit card. All it had to do was be what God made it to be. If he so clothes the grass, the flowers of the field, what will he do for you? What will he do for you? You see, it's a faith issue. Do we really believe that God can do what he said he's going to do? You have a friend, and your friend's car is in the shop. And he's walking around moaning and complaining and just wondering, oh man, I don't know how I'm going to get my car at the shop. That bill is $600 and I don't have it. But if I don't get my car, I can't go to work and I may lose my job. Oh, I don't know what I'm going to do. So you say, well, look, I'll tell you what I'll do. When you get the bill, bring it to me and I'll pay it. And he says, oh, okay, thank you, thank you. And then the next time you see him, he's going, oh man, I don't know what I'm going to do if I can't get my car. You know, man, if I don't get to the job, they're going to fire me. And you say, but wait a minute, didn't I tell you I was going to pay that? Oh, yeah, I heard you say that, but man, how am I going to get my car? Now, you look at him, and what are you saying in your mind? Fool. Now, God is gracious, amen? God is gracious. He knows us. The scripture says he knows our frame, that we are dust. So I have good news for you. When we act that way, God does not look at us and say, fool. No, in a loving voice, he says, my child, my child. But catch it. That's exactly what we're doing. God has said, I'm going to provide your every need. When you come to me and place yourself before me, walk in the way that I've told you to walk, I have made you the promise that I will provide everything that you need. So what are you worried for? When you're worried after the promise has been made, what it means is you don't believe the one who promised. Isn't that right? If your friend is still worried about getting his car after you've promised that you're going to pay the bill, what does that tell you about what he thinks about you? He has no confidence that you're going to do what you said you're going to do. Isn't that right? Because if he had confidence in you, once you said, I'll pay it, it's out of his mind. He's not concerned about it anymore. Isn't that right? So when we worry about the things that are going on in our lives, what we are really saying to God is, oh yeah, God, I heard you when you said you'd take care of it, but I still think I kind of have to work on it for myself. Just in case you don't come through this time. Just in case you don't have enough power to get it done. Just in case this one time the devil is too strong for you, God, and you can't overcome it, to come and do what I need to have done in my life. Just in case, God, I'll keep on worrying about it myself. And as I said, he doesn't say thou fool, but he does say, oh child, what's wrong with you? You see, it's a matter of faith. Look at verses 31 and 32 of Matthew chapter 6. Therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. You see what he's saying? Look, when you as a Christian walk in worry, you are no better than somebody who's not even saved. The Gentiles, that means in this context, the unsaved people. The Gentiles seek after all those things. You're acting like somebody who's not even saved. When you worry and fret about the things that you're concerned about in your life, not trusting God for them, you're acting just like an unsaved person. And he says, why would you do that? Your Father knows that you need these things. Your Father knew that you needed them before the world began. He already planned to give you what you need. Do you know that God already has it lined up for you to get what you need before you even get to the place where you need it? How many of you ride on the train sometime? You ride a train. Okay? When you get on the train, how many of you sit there in the car trying to steer the train and make it go where it's supposed to go? How many of you do that? No, why not? Because the train is on a track. As long as the train keeps moving, what? It's going to get where it's supposed to get to. Now, you can't see that location yet. It's way down the road. You get on the train here in Harrisburg, you're going to Philadelphia, you're going to have many twists and turns before you get there. But if you stay on the track, guess what? You will pull into 30th Street Station one day. If you just keep moving, the track is going to take you there. Well, catch this. Before the foundation of the world, God put your provision on a track to meet you where you're going. If you stay on your track, He will keep the provision on its track. There will be twists and turns. It may take some days, but sooner or later, if you stay on track, you're going to come to the intersection where you meet up with the track that your provision is on, and you'll get there at the same time, and God will say, here it is. Hallelujah. But you know what so many of us do? We get to worrying, and we get to fretting. Oh, my God. Oh man, I don't know what I'm going to do about this. So instead of keeping on doing what God told us to do, we start backing up. We start doing something different. It's just like instead of staying on the track and keeping moving, we get off the train and we go and find a switch and say, this track doesn't look like it's taking me anyplace. Let me try another track. And we flip the switch. Now, when you flip the switch, what happens? You get off the track that's taking you to where God has set your provision. You're going someplace else. I don't know where you're going to end up. Atlantic City? Might end up in Miami. I don't know. But you will not end up in the place where God has your provision ready to meet you. You see, when we don't just keep on stepping, doing what God has called us to do, the moment we allow our worry to cause us to get off track with God, we are moving away from the provision He has already set in motion for us. God says, I got you covered. All you have to do is keep going. So here's the bottom line. If you are a worrier, you better deal with it. If you are a warrior, I don't care what the issue is. I don't care what you're afraid of. I don't care what you think you may not have enough of. I don't care what you think it is that maybe if you don't worry about it, God's not going to get done for you. If you are a worrier, you need to repent. 1 John 1:9, anybody know it? If we confess our sins, what is He? Faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to do what? Cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If you are a worrier, you need to confess your worry as sin. Say, God, I am repenting of this. I'm turning around from this. I'm confessing it to you. Cleanse me of this, Lord, because I have sinned. Step number one.